I talked to Dion, I don't know, it's been a couple weeks, month ago, something, about who was going to get the opportunity to speak this morning with him being out of town at Winterfest. He and all of the, obviously his family, and all of the youth group at Winterfest in Gatlinburg, and so everybody's there having a good time, but it was kind of... who was going to speak was kind of up in the air different times. And anyway, so I said, well, if you need somebody, just, you know, let me know. So it was Monday evening or Tuesday morning thereabout. He finally narrowed it down that there was nobody stepping up. And so I was going to be on tap. That's fine. I enjoy the opportunity to speak. So I wanted to start out this morning with like some, you know, funny anecdote or something to kind of make an emotional connection with everybody, because Dion always does such a wonderful job with that, but I came up blank. I could tell some stories, again, about last night at the Valentine's Day party for adults, but we won't get into that. So what I came up with instead, isn't that nice? Svelte, man, I'm telling you. Whew. By the way, that's my niece. She graduates from high school this year. There. Just give you some idea. Yeah. That's the back of my mother-in-law's head. I wanted to show you, though, to kind of, you know, help get that connection. It's funny because I can still remember a lot of the details, you know, of what was going on in those particular pictures and other things. We had a very tight, say, shoestring budget that we were operating on, so we ended up doing a lot of the work ourselves. We got married at the college of EU now, for anybody that's listening, and we got married in the theater, so we set up all the chairs, and we did the decorating, so we had our set at the cafeteria, so we did a decorating there and set stuff up. And then, up in the cafeteria, not vegetables for the trash stuff and whatever. We couldn't even throw it aside. And, I went into my parking lot, you know, last minute, did all the joke about 18-year-olds. And it was incredibly hot in that auditorium. A couple of you there remember, probably, hot as a mobile. But, you know, there's a lot of good members and some other there. And my wonderful future brother-in-law now, they think had enough to bring like, shaving cream or shoe polish or anything like that. They got creative, and the little boat handles that were out of the piece, and they used the white windows, which was really nice. And under the 23 pounds, it seemed like birds you'd have, put it off the inside of the curtain. There's a part that come flooding back. It was all good. You hope you did that. Just some details of what I remember this morning. If you like to along, read it for quickly here in verse 1. Tis on the day a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. His mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been there. The wine gone, dearest to him, had more wine. When all Jesus replied, has his mother said, do whatever he tells you. His water jars, hang sticks for some of the washings, from teeth to gowns. He said to the servants, put her, give them to the brim. Then eat them, now draw some wine out, and take it to the master of the banquet. Take her that had been turned to wine. Realize where I'm from, the servants had drawn the water new. He got and said, everyone brings the choice one first and the cheaper wine, and guests have had too much to drink. But he said, the best till now. This Jesus is the first of his signs, in it all, and his people's faith in them. After this, went to Capernaum with mother and his brother and son. They stayed for days. One of the things to speculate on is some of the details of this wedding. And I do a lot of studying this, some of the range of ideas, but it's so intriguing. Possible inside the speculation, wedding, and maybe your passage at this wedding, told that this may have been the wife of the other sister, or maybe was a caterer. She seemed to be the first one that wins run out, which means she would, you know, work back on doing it. It was maybe one of her children, or it was, you know, somebody that she was caring for. It seemed that Jesus and his five disciples him are unexpected. I'm hoping Nathaniel, his newly created disciple, was when he showed up, would be married to have invited this new. This teacher came possibly to offer a blessing upon the couple, or did that. But, so the fact these son asked guests up, maybe what's contributing the problem. And I just want to look at is that every wedding has one thing set up at different. The top part is something wrong. old enough gets Christmas. It's a mail. Let's make a mail note. You want it, and you're going to a wedding with, and it'd be worth $1,000 a day. You never know. Book just had some misses there. At this point, the problem, though, is in verse 1, wine was gone. He's wedded. They have no more wine. Now, I think from the at point the spirit of the debtor given this account, that it makes it clear that he expects Jesus to help him with a problem. Also, expecting something terrible and startling to solve this problem in a very helpful one thing we got to show at this time that Mary's expectations had been a woman. She probably had been told how Jesus baptized John and Jordan, how heaven put it up, came right in Jesus' head, and a voice uttered the words, "This is my beloved son." She heard the promise that he would be a son. Now that Jesus has finished, some disciple to himself, she is right to expect that's beginning to fulfill his own about all the years. You can imagine the woman wanted her to bring Jesus. But Jesus says, "Dear woman, woman of me, my time has not yet come." A better translation, a loving has been built. Jesus in some translation, very harsh. He says something like, "What is between you and me?" Or it's the address. Woman is not necessarily one. You know, like, you woman? There is a distancing that Jesus is putting between himself and his sister to get to fulfill it. So much that's all I'm going to say about that. It made me actually let me read that. It was kind of not necessarily so. The other part of the idiom, what is between you and I, or what have I to do with you, or what exactly does it mean? But the NIV other translations do a good job of trying to convince some of the ideas. Why do you all need to come to meet this? The fisherman helps to fight. Time's not yet come. She evidently wanted this opportunity to publicly does she do it? She was about to do. Maybe even not her, for I'm sure when he was born, you know, things have been lost to people. After 30 years, nothing happened. You know, time is silent. Now, with everything that's going on, she's going to display it here publicly. Jesus, at this time to do that, he says, hour has not come. The hour to do that display isn't never going to come until Passover several years later when he'll go to Jerusalem and fulfill his death. Jesus does intervene in the situation, though, but does it in a quiet, behind the scenes. It's really very few people who has all Jesus responds that he is not controlled by her anymore. This is one of the last accounts of when he was probably been in the temple. You know, they find him at the there's that he went back and was sensitive to them, and he was under their direction. He is now completely out of that, but even though he's 30-some years old, he had been an old son. But here's time breaks those aprons, so to speak. He will be subjected to his only will of the Father. Not even his mother has approval in on him. His action will be governed by the hour set by God and not by anyone else's time or will. Going on, his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Note that Mary responds to the same humility and character that she did some 3 years before when she was by the angel. She said, "May have done to me as you have said." And here she said, "Whoever he do." Or he not deep to her. But again, demonstrate to her that he will not be, I don't know, he is not going to be driven by her will, her wishes. He will be the Father's will. We come to the of the story. Go back to verse. Nearby stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for some, excuse me, the kind used by the Jews for some washes, each holding 30 gallons. This is the third, filled with water, for the filled rim. He told them, "Now drink water, take it to the master banquet." They did so, and the master banquet ate the water that had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, but was supposed to draw on the water. He called the groom aside and said, "Everyone brings the choice wine first, and the cheaper wine has to save till now." This verse was miraculous. He formed in Galilee. He revealed glory to his disciples put their him. Jesus often uses miracles in the world to demonstrate spiritual truths. He healed people to show that he had the authority to forgive sins. He cursed a fig tree as a sign of coming judgment on the temple. He healed on the Sabbath to show that he had authority over the Sabbath. He raised people from the dead to show that he is the resurrection and the life. He fed thousands to show that he is the bread of life. But what is the spiritual significance of this sign? I believe if you look in verse 6, it starts to reveal to you. As nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. In this very compressed account of this wedding, John gives us a lot of details in this issue, and I think it lightens for us by what is fuzzy and out of focus, and what is very sharply in focus, what's important here. John wants us to know that these jars were not for ordinary drinking water, but rather water used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Jesus could have put the water, turned into wine, into other containers. He could have made new containers for the wine. He could have wine in people's empty glasses. But that Jews performed this miracle and affected this custom ceremonial. There was nothing to do with it. It was religiously instituted by the Old Testament, but was corrupted and distorted by a religious. In the law of Moses, God commanded the priest to undergo water cleansing to be taken into the presence of the temple. This was a symbolic way of teaching the people that once he cleansed the sin, we're going to draw near to God. Priests cleansed themselves and approached God, sacrifices for the people's sins. They foreshadowed the work of Christ, who would live a sinless life and was disqualified to his own life as a penance for sins. For the centuries, religious leaders corrupted this sign of Christ's salvation, so the meaning was totally dismissed. They taught their main spiritual problem is outside. Food, objects, people. And their remedy is external ritual cleansing. The mentality, the same mentality of most world religion, and tragically, to understand Christianity. You must clean yourself up to relate God. By certain rituals, right way, detailed rules, and external relational behavior, or avoiding contact with people, those go on and on. The idea is that you have to clean yourself up to come to God. Jesus rejects this whole approach to God. He thinks the real spiritual problem, which we are powerless to cleanse by ourselves. What is needed is eternal change with transformation from the inside out. This is exactly what he came to offer, the spiritual cleansing of Jesus' suited ritual things. Jesus filled the washing and returned something better, himself. Then Jesus said, servant, fill the jars with water, fill them to the brim. Then he pulled them, now draw some out to the master of the banquet. Jesus had the jar filled to the brim with water. And then he forms that water into wine. In this miracle, he does two things. Number one, he completely condemns the religious substance. Filling these jars with water and transforming the wine, he made it impossible for anyone to ritually purify himself. This going on in the story, he's explicitly rejected and condemned the sacrifice of God. He said, you can't put on in old skins, condemned as official and promoting hypocrisy. Second place is approach to God with a whole new approach. God didn't come to provide improvement of cleansing. He came to replace this with a way to approach God. By transforming one into one, Jesus replaced a symbol of human religious self-cleansing with a gift of abundant spirit life. Whereas the water is full of external wine of God's gift of internal transition, you consume it and it affects you from the side out. Going on to Satan. Then the master of the bank tasted water that had turned wine. He did not realize where it had come from. Servants who had drawn the water. Then he called the bride inside and said, everyone has a choice of wine after they get to touch the drink. But you have saved the best man. Why do you suppose that John Ward's word? Was this just recorded as advice for future banquets? Was it Miro that just makes good wine, excellent wine? I think reported because it had symbolic significance. Jews had become like people in wine by their perpetual ritual washings and all the different things that had come so to them. They've been so long not recognized when something carried they had no more wine. It's simply the fact that the Jews don't mean less ceremonies. Just something new. I contemplated how to bring up this point. One of the things that pierces its head in every commentary looking at the passage, and I was made reading some of the hurdles that on one people went through to prove that the wine that just was an alcoholic, and on the hoops that people went through just an alcoholic wine. At some point, reading it, I thought, does it really matter? It's one of those things in a story that comes along and, if we allow it, completely from seeing what's actually involved, being communicated to us. So, I'm going to totally open the air for you. If you want to go and read some of those arguments, the book people out there that have frozen. It's interesting. If someone to use passage to prove that just one talk, that it's perfectly okay for us to, for example, like in the water, drinking, whatever. It's interesting, though. Jesus, when he was 15, he said, to disciples, going to the place for you. And this wine would not take this again, pretend that heaven, this and all that, you know, waiting. So, yeah. But let me go. This miraculous signs Jesus pointed out. Moses' miraculous plague to water in this miracle, Jesus did first. He transformed water into wine. This acts out what John said in 1 verse 17. He says, "What was given through Moses and came to Christ. God revealed his glory and his disciples put the whole point of this miracle of Jesus, that his glory be revealed and he might believe him. The whole point of our attention to Jesus is the purpose he has. The whole point is to look away from the miracle as quickly as possible, to look toward Jesus, to look toward him eyes of faith, of belief, of wonder, and of trust. And that moment, also look at God himself. You don't have to cling yourself to God. Come to where you are and receive his spiritual life that will assure you of God's forgiveness and you to experience God's life transforming love. He doesn't want you to try and clean yourself up outside. He wants eternal spiritual life to transform you inside. Let's pray. God, we come before you just want to thank you for taking us out of the emptiness we're in. And to touch us, transform us, redeem us, this whole, help us to receive information you offer, help us to receive graciously wonderful gifts you give us, and especially the gift of our we pray. Amen. This morning, if you would like to experience the tradition that Jesus first, we're going to offer you the opportunity to respond. If you need to begin, if you need to taste first the transformation mind offers you, we can assist you this morning. We baptize you Jesus' name to his blood, to his forgiveness. Maybe your life is just dried up. Maybe you are floundering about with ceremonial washings, keeping up on the outside, but dry on the inside. I offer you transformation, rebirth this morning. If there's any that we can meet for you, please come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song today.